ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I just tweeted it out, too. Just looking at it on a computer screen or writing it down on a piece of paper.
Did you get this one right?
Last year, yes. I probably not, though. I am the Ryan Pace of, like, grammatical errors on Twitter. I screwed up the poll question before the show today, brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer.
And like a grown-ass man, he didn't delete it. He just said, you know what he said? Let's try this again.
Yeah, just like how they rolled Trubisky out there last year, right?
Yeah, well, that's different.
I tweeted out the poll question. Would you rather have Andy Dalton for $10 million or give up a sixth-round pick and pay Bridgewater? Now we find out it's about $4.5 million for the Broncos. And I put my two options were yes and no.
You know what? They've gotten you. They've broken you.
Yeah, I am a broken man.
Yeah, they've broken
you. And I can't get over it either. I still get riled up.
But I think the point that you're making is the most important one. It's the process that just is... The process isn't working. This isn't a, hey, I'm really down on Andy Dalton, or hey, I'm really down on Teddy Bridgewater, because really they're the same guys in my evaluation. They're placeholders for hopefully guys that can come in and make a bigger and better splash. But it's the process by which they come to their solution.
Like I wrote last year, the Bears wanted to pay Teddy Bridgewater $20 million and weren't interested in Andy Dalton for a little more than $3 million. This year, the Bears wanted to pay Dalton $10 million and not pay Bridgewater $4.5 million. And I wrote, and you wonder why they stink. And I could give you 10 more reasons.
Now, they'll argue with you that at the time, Andy Dalton was available and Teddy Bridgewater wasn't. But you've
that's
got to
the point take, of the take, flawed process.
Yes, take your time.
That's the point of the, like, anyone who calls in and says, Sylvie, Bridgewater may not have been available, but someone else is. Teddy Bridgewater is Nick Foles, is Andy Dalton, is Cam Newton at this point.
Is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
They're all the same dude. So there's no reason to rush to any table to bargain with them. We're going to wait. We're going to slow play this. We're going to see how the market develops. We're going to see if Jimmy G gets dealt. Is he going to get dealt pennies on the dollar? We're going to see what happens, and we're going to be buyers in a buyer's market. We're not going to be buyers in a seller's market for crap or mediocrity. But the Bears rush to the table like they've just discovered something and they want to pay for the mediocrity at top price. Billy in New Jersey, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Billy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Well, the blood pressure's a little high, but outside of that, Billy is solid.
Well, I got to tell you this. I'm hearing about the Bears trading up for a quarterback, and this is me, and I think I'm going to probably sound like an ignorant fan when I say this. I don't like the idea one bit. Now, I don't follow college football, but I did look at North Carolina quarterbacks. Their best quarterback, I'm talking about once the NFL, was Mitchell Trubisky. I looked at Ohio State. You know their most serviceable quarterback
Mike Tomczak.
So the Bears trade up for Trubisky to a team that doesn't produce quarterbacks. Now I'm hearing all this talk about trading up and way up to get Justin Fields. Ohio State doesn't produce quarterbacks. The Bears can't draft quarterbacks. I really think that the Bears would be better served to trade back, and maybe you could get, you know, fill some needs, and in the process, get one of the other quarterbacks back, whether it's Mills,
right?
Or I'm not sure. You know what I mean?
Or Trask?
Yes, the second tier guys. Yeah. Yes, Billy.
The second
tier
guys.
Listen, Billy, if you do the evaluation and you come to the conclusion, factor out. Like, I mean, you can factor in what an Ohio State system usually is. But you can't, I don't think you can, you can't evaluate Justin Fields based on guys that have gone before him. You have to evaluate them all individually. Now, if you come to the conclusion that he's not the right guy. You have to do that independently of just painting with a broad brush and say Ohio State quarterbacks never pan out.
Right. Wait, you guys are the college guys. Didn't Joe Burrow go to Ohio State originally?
Yeah.
All right. So would you have said then that Joe Burrow isn't any good? Like, it doesn't matter where he plays. It's each individual player.
Right. Justin Fields is not Craig Krenzel.
No.
Right.
They're not built the same.
And we're not saying he's going to be great. We're just saying that don't label it because it's Ohio State.
Well, Fields also didn't earn the starting job at Georgia, and that's he transferred.
Right.
And then got the starting job, and then obviously we know what happened.
Yeah. Right. Paul's in Barrington. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Paulie?
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm calling. You know, here's the thing, and I'm with you, Sylvie. The front office is so inept. And how can has anyone called them out? It seems like they're either hiding behind the doors and they don't want to talk to media, but they're so inept that with Dalton at $10.5 million was so overpaid, and they could have got Bridgewater, they could have not even got Dalton and waited and get what's his name from the Jets for a lower for
Sam Bradford,
the draft trade Sam Darnold.
I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. And I just don't understand why they are not being pressured. And answering for this, because this is such a travesty of what's happening with the Bears. I'm frustrated and I'm pissed.
Right. And then you know what
makes it worse? We're letting them get away with this.
Paulie, you know what makes it worse? Look, and we had George on the show. We've asked for Pace. We've never had Pace on the show. He won't come on. But, we asked George all these questions. Paul, the most frustrating part is that they believe in him, like Waddle says. We see this. It's so obvious, but yet the owner loves him. The owner loves him.
Again, I'm not going to sit here and pound the table because we missed out on Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, that's not what this is about. This is about that you consistently are chasing your tail. You think it's your leg. I mean, the process is flawed.
Greg's in Aurora. You're on ESPN 1000. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just wanted to say what I would like to see them do. Obviously, I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow night. Tomorrow night will be an interesting night because I think it'll be the night that the Bears most likely probably set their franchise back another 5 years. But I think what I'd like to see them do is, I don't see a lot of mock drafts doing this. I see a lot of them taking Rashad Bateman, which I'm not really in love with, but if depending on who's there for offensive line, I'd really like Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State. But if they don't have the right guy there, I think you move back. I mean, I don't understand. Unless, one of those quarterbacks falls past 15, but
I'm with you.
You don't think that's going to happen.
Greg, so I'm with you.
That's what they should do.
Yeah.
And, that's I think the most logical move, but not expecting that, guys. Anyway. Thanks for the call.
Greg,
thank you for the call, Greg. Yeah. Thank you for the call.
We had to do an exercise. It's going to be posted, I believe, on our Instagram or Twitter later on the ESPN Chicago page. Who we want and who we think they're going to get. And for my who I think they're going to get, I went Jenkins from Oklahoma State.
My ask was Rashawn Slater.
Right.
I was hoping that he was going to fall. I don't believe that's going to be the
Abdallah,
case.
Abdallah, I went with Mac Jones for my want. If they could somehow get Mac, if Mac Jones goes by 49, the 49ers, and he falls, I know, just like Slater. Look, Slater's falls, not going to.
I don't think he falls out of the top five, Mac Jones.
I don't think he falls out of three.
Again,
anything is possible. But what do you do to predict the here and the now? You look to the past. What has Shanny done in the past? Accentuated the assets of Matt Ryan, Matty Ice. Loved him some Kirk Cousins. I know you guys don't, but Shanny likes him. Like Jimmy Garoppolo helped them go to a Super Bowl. Like those are all kind of stationary, read, react, accuracy quarterbacks. That's who they are. So, if you connect the dots, the obvious answer is Mac Jones. That doesn't mean it's 100% lock. But if I was betting on it, which I know you can at DraftKings and Casino Queen Sportsbook, I would put my money on them drafting Mac Jones based on what Shanahan has done in the past.
I just think too many teams get antsy. And so even if they don't take Mac Jones and it's Fields at three or Trey Lance at three, whoever it is, that another team is going to try to jump up because they're like, oh, man, Fields is available. Or, oh, man, Trey Lance is available. Like, there's too many teams that need quarterbacks that are going to get antsy.
Well, and at 20, the moment I knew they were 20, what I've wanted them to do all along is save your cash. You're already paying Foles. If you need to start Tyler Bray, start Tyler Bray. Keep your draft currency and start building your team.
Right.
Like, this is a long-term project, not something that needs to be, you know, turned around in one season.
Right. That's why if your guys are still there, there's two or three, trade back a few spots. Get more currency.
Just be good at it.
Yeah. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Be good at it. That's good life advice from one Tom
Waddle.
Whatever
it is,
right,
be good
there
at it.
There's a one former guy who is drafted very high into this city says if he was a quarterback, he would want no part of the Bears. You'll hear that coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Would you like to go to Michigan?
I do like
Let's
Michigan.
Go to Michigan.
Yeah, I like the state of Michigan. I've been to New Buffalo before.
We are going to Lodi Township in Michigan.
All right, L-O-D-I.
You got it. Man builds poop wall in Washtenaw County after a dispute with his neighbor.
So, he put poop all over a wall, smeared poop?
A 250-foot-long wall of poop.
It's disgusting.
Divides two properties in Lodi Township. It's a smelly fence that Wayne Lambarth says his farmer neighbor built after a dispute.
So wait, he like took manure and he actually built a wall of manure.
Normally they spread it on the field, but they decided to make a fence out of it, Lambarth said. Lambarth's grandfather developed the farm 100 years ago, but the property was divided. There was a dispute over the property line last year. That's when the manure appeared close to the house.
You know who did this before? Ryan Pace, when he built the new Wingate House. Built with poop walls.
No, that's not. There's no manure there. That's the best part of the whole thing. It's just a blank pile over there, Jaden Schwarzel says. He built a poop wall. He got mad. He built a poop wall.
I like that. That's
an aggressive, solid move.
Yes, I think that is.
Depending on the day.
What?
Depending on the day. Solid depending on the day.
Poop wall. Dirty wall.
Would this ain't give last much year's winner a
I'm
battle?
Dying inside. Gambled and lost quite a few times. But this time I'm ready. The toilet's all mine.
It's a journey, this song.
Feels like I'm giving birth. Can't flush, there's too much curve.
Everybody now.
Poop knife. Dirty knife. Toilet's full. No plunger in sight. Solve this problem like only I can. I grab my poop knife with my right hand. Cut it up into pieces. Ooh. Flush away my feces.
I love getting into the time machine every now and again and hearing one of those parody songs.
This upcoming year, we got to do that, the Battle of the Champions.
Okay.
The champion round.
I see that.
After we do the real thing, after that, we'll bring like the best winners and we're going to let our listeners
Champions
vote.
League. We'll call it Champions League.
There you go.
What do you think? Champions League?
Nah, Super League.
This will be the Super League of parody songs.
Funny pickles seized by Border Protection turn out to be $4 million worth of meth. Customs and Borders Protection officers recently seized more than $4 million worth of suspected methamphetamine at the Far Reynosa International Bridge cargo facility.
Hmm.
On April 17th, the officers examined a tractor trailer hauling a commercial shipment of fresh cucumber pickles into Texas with a non-intrusive imaging system and found it was hiding 114 packages of alleged methamphetamines weighing 217 pounds.
My man Waddle loves a good pickle.
No doubt. I love pickles. By the way, oh, Dodgers got a 1-0 lead over the Reds. This is pretty much the theme or the plot in some ways of 0-0-0. You got to get back to that.
I do. I did like it. Again, like, I've been so short on sleep that when I start watching some drama sometime, it's not an indication on it's being boring.
Right.
I just drift off.
I got it. Before we get to Florida or Ohio, German police say a grenade-shaped item in the forest was just a sex toy. That's all it was.
Yeah.
You thought it was a grenade in the forest. It was a sex toy.
It's going to make something explode.
Want to play a game? No.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Florida, Ohio is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming from head to toe in Florida, Ohio, and across the globe. Make sure you use promo code
Chicago, 20% off and free shipping.
Arrestee tried to smuggle drugs in his prosthetic leg, cops say. Oh. A man was being booked into jail and thought about smuggling some narcotics into lockup that were hidden inside
like that is,
his prosthetic
you gotta
leg.
You got to know better than that. Well, like, that is obvious.
Well,
that's
really?
Obvious.
I was going to say that's pretty damn smart. No,
come on,
really?
That's
it's
the
too
old,
obvious?
That's the old fake leg filled with drugs trick. Everybody knows
know
that one.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah.
When they
that's
searched
obvious.
The leg, they found cocaine.
Miami International Airport.
South Beach. Let's go.
Yeah. Come on. Florida. Let's just move on. Ohio criminals are not that out of touch with what the real rules are.
You didn't know how I started the other day, and it was cocaine, but whatever.
Miami.
With meth, though.
That's right.
This has fentanyl, meth, and cocaine.
Ooh. Oh, that's the trifecta.
All the fixins.
All the stuff
go
that's
going to
get you thrown in jail for a long time.
Show me Florida.
Yeah. Show me Florida.
There you go.
Got
all right.
Roll going right now.
A lot of football talk, and I'm arguing with a lot of people online today, all right? I want to get back to that in a little bit. A lot of people have problems with me, and I've got problems with people today. But
now we know what's got his attention, ladies and gentlemen.
But coming up in 2 short minutes, Jeff Passan on the brutal mistakes, and it's plural, from Tony La Russa last night. That's up in 2 minutes.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, before we get to my wife or radio partner, I told you earlier that someone from NBC Sports Chicago tweeted out that Miguel Cabrera says Nick Madrigal was getting Giolito and Grandal, was telling them that the Tigers were passing signs from second base. Miguel Cabrera then denied that, saying, come on, this is BS. I don't play that game. You need to respect. Get the F out of there. So Tony La Russa, this is right now, right? Right before the game. He met the media, and La Russa addressed the situation that Cabrera brought up.
Heard about it. And, you know, my comments are, Miguel is a guaranteed Hall of Famer. He's earned the respect. And if he says he's not getting help from second base, then he's not getting it. But we do encourage our middle infielders to actively be guarding, because that is a ridiculously popular thing. If Nick was actively defending against that, then I'm all for it. But I give Miguel the respect he deserves. He says he doesn't get the signs, and he doesn't get them.
Great. I agree with La Russa there.
Yeah, I agree too. I'm just thinking, great, now Grandal's got to worry about not getting his glove hit from his hand and protecting his signs.
That's a lot.
My God.
Yeah. He's not playing tonight. We're going to have to worry about his signs being stolen tonight.
La Russa then was talking about what we brought up, too, in his pregame conversation about Giolito and correcting the issues. Take a listen to this.
Yeah, I'm paying attention during the game. So when it's over, if somebody thinks I made a mistake, then it wasn't because I was distracted and falling asleep or anything. But probably the thing you look at the most is the inning before. The sixth inning was not an easy inning for him, but he came back and got a punch out of the cleanup hitter. But I know Ethan talked to him between innings, and there was no mention. So I think walking the first guy, and you could see all he was agitated, that might have been another tip off. But in the end, like I said, the time with the extra rest he had, and I felt confident he could get it. I was surprised, as you could tell, when he said, you know, he felt like he was running out of gas. And the buck passes to the desk. The guy makes the decision. That's me. So I take the responsibility.
All right. Well, there it is. So Tony La Russa on the Giolito situation. I mean, look, even if you don't, you still think he's got something left, and you still think after the walk he can get the guy out and he homers. After that home run and you give up the lead, you go get your ace. You don't leave him out there to drive for four more pitches at 110 pitches to go up to 114 after he just gave up the go-ahead home run.
At any point, did Ethan Katz go to the mound? Did anyone go to the mound?
I don't think so. I don't know. What was going on?
I don't know. I was locked into hockey last night. Hockey's still in Television 1 for me. Like, I get it. The Hawks season's over.
All the cup years. Waddle's,
I know.
Can't get him to watch a damn Hawks
game. No, I watched him, but I waited till the postseason. Like, I'm watching more hockey now than I've ever seen.
It's amazing.
It is amazing, and I can't explain it.
All right, if you want to weigh in on the Sox stuff, I want to take a lot of calls in the 5 o'clock hour. We are guest-free, 332-3776. Let's get to my wife or radio partner.
It's now time for my wife or my radio partner.
My wife. Now, see that? Always smiling. Hi, honey. Judging, watching. Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
My wife.
Does this make me look fat? Did you take out the trash?
Or my radio partner.
I look at myself in the mirror and I can't stand what I'm seeing.
It's a little cool today, isn't it? It's a little cool today for golf, isn't it?
My wife or my radio partner.
With Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
After a warm day yesterday, it is cool for golf today. It's brought to you by Swift and Sons, American Steakhouse in the West Loop in the Fulton Market District. I had lunch yesterday with one of their great partners, Kevin Boehm from the Boca Restaurant Group. It's Rob Katz. It's Kevin Boehm, the award winners of the Boca Restaurant Group, teaming up with their executive chef, Chris Pandell. It's a Chicago steakhouse with a modern twist. You're going to love it. Trust us on this. Go to Swift and Sons. Then get back to us and tell us how much you loved it. Swift & Sons available for takeout. They've got reservations. You could sit outside. And when you're in the Wrigleyville area, check out Swift & Sons Tavern across from Wrigley
Field. Let's do this.
John in St. John. Hi, John.
How you doing?
We're good. Fantastic. I'm going to give you three statements. We don't need to review the music. We know which is my wife and which is my radio partner. I'm giving you three statements, though. And you have to get them right. You have to tell me, did Waddle make the statement or did my wife, Allie, make the statement? Two out of three gets you the prize, all right?
Sounds good.
Here we go, John. Statement number one. The firemen hung up on me because they have a call. The firemen hung up on me because they have a call.
Allie.
This old man, why was she calling the fireman?
The, this was a Tuesday situation, and I was getting... No, this was Monday. I guess the... what? Not the fire. What's the carbon monoxide detector?
Oh, yeah. You don't want that going off.
Was beeping. And so I said, she's asking me what to do.
Change the battery.
I said, it could be the battery. I go, just to make it safe, because carbon monoxide is no joke.
That's right.
Call the non-emergency line.
Good job.
And ask them what you should do.
Yes.
And then she texted back that they hung up on her because they had a call. So, but it was the battery.
Yeah.
We did. So we rectified the issue. Good job sniffing that out, John.
Well done, Johnny.
You need one out of these two
John
correct.
St. John. St. John and John. St. John and...
Stop it. Statement number two. The looks of utter disdain I'm getting at Jewel as I carry a case of Coors Light, popsicles, and pizza. The looks of utter disdain I'm getting at Jewel as I carry a case of Coors Light, popsicles, and pizza.
Allie.
Very good.
Go, John. Like, that's not an Allie problem. That's a them problem. That's a them problem.
I texted her because if you come over tomorrow, if I have some people over tomorrow for the draft, I want to make sure I've got Coors Light
and popsicles. Because you know how everyone loves a good popsicle when it's 14 degrees out.
Well, my kids eat popsicles year-round. You know,
yeah, that's a them problem. That's not an Allie problem. Anyone giving you a dirty look for carrying whatever it is.
You're going to love it there at Swift & Sons, John. Just well for you done, know what, Johnny. In giggles, statement number three, it was a bridge too far. It was a bridge too far.
I'll go with Waddle.
Damn, John, were you in our meeting today?
You know, the second one knew for sure because, you know, Tom drinks wine. So he wasn't picking up beer.
I'll drink anything, John.
He drinks beer, too.
I drink it all, brother. I drink it all. If water was alcoholic, I'd drink water more often.
We were having a White Sox Woody conversation again.
I think I got support from the other two members of this show. Do I not?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's 3-on-1 on this.
It's a bridge too far for you.
All right, John, enjoy Swift & Sons. Let us know how it is, all right?
Well done, John and St. John.
Will do. Thanks, guys. You guys are great.
Thank you. We appreciate you. There's John. If you want to weigh in on the Bears, if you want to weigh in on the La Russa situation, if you want to weigh in about the Cubs sadness, we are guest-free. We want to take your call. I'm sad. I'm a sad Cubs fan these days. 332-3776.
Buck up, buttercup.
We're back in 2 short minutes.